I'm Amy Ruppel. I lost a bet, and I'm one whiskey sour in, so you get me for introductions today. You're listening to The Job, interesting interviews with interesting people. And this is the very first episode of Season 3, also known as Episode 51, if you are counting. But I feel like I won the bet because I have the privilege of introducing the one and only Karina Rep, interviewed by Candace. There's drama and laughter and suspense, so let's get to it then.
So today we have Karina Rep on the job. Thanks so much for coming in and making time for us before you leave Portland, which we'll talk about later, but I'm not even ready to discuss yet.
I know, I'm not either.
Yes. So I know you as a musician and also for through some of the acting work that you've done, and so that's probably a lot of what I'll be asking you about. But to start out with, just a little bit about where you're from, like, where did you get your start? Where were you born, grow up?
I was born in Salem, Oregon.
No!
Salem General Hospital, 1973.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And then when I was 6, my parents were tired of the cold and the gray and the rain.
Right.
Back when it used to be cold and rainy and gray all the time in Oregon.
Right.
And we moved to Hawaii.
Wow.
And then from there, I moved about every 2 years through the Midwest to the East Coast, back to the Midwest, until I was 14. And then I landed in Indiana and went to high school there for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And when I was living in the middle of nowhere, I decided I wanted to be a marine biologist. And
in Indiana.
And then I moved to California and went to Humboldt State, and that's where I met Brian, which is now our
right.
mutual friend, but that's where I met Brian and went there for 2 years to become a marine biologist. And within that time, had started getting more interested in singing and music, and eventually had a friend who would leave his guitar in my room all the time, and then I was taking voice lessons and people were encouraging me, and I was singing in the stairwell and,
nice.
You know, in the dorm
right.
room. And I became completely obsessed with it and did my first open mic at a place called Jambalaya in Arcata, California, and sang an a cappella song at an open mic night. And then
what did you sing? Was it like a song of yours? Or was
no, it was... So back then, I was a huge Cowboy Junkies fan. I mean, mind you, this was in 93
right.
or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was a huge fan of White's Off Earth Now and Trinity Sessions. I mean, those are beautiful records. But I sang this song called Mining for Gold. And it's an a cappella song that they had done or she had done. And I decided to sing that song at an open mic night. And I remember Brian Padian telling me that night that you could hear a dog fart in the street. That the room was
That's
so quiet.
Romantic.
The room was so quiet, you could hear a dog fart in the street.
Yeah.
And that was my first taste of performing. And then from there on out, like, I was dust.
Yeah.
I was hooked.
How long did it take you to stop studying marine biology?
Oh, I was already, like, 1 foot out the door.
Right.
And also they gave me the curriculum and... there was just an incredible amount of math involved, and I had no idea. And I'm horrible at math, and there was no way I knew I could keep pursuing it. Plus, I found the thing that made me feel like nothing had ever made me feel before.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, that was a nice go of things, but this is awesome.
Right.
Must do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. So you started making music, and you were solo for... quite a while.
Yeah,
yes.
I started off pretty slow. I mean, I think it took me a long time to find myself as a musician. I feel like some people can come like right out of the gate and kind of have their identity and the confidence and all of this stuff, but I was much more heady about it, I think. I think I had a lot of hang-ups, and I think it took me a long time to get over those, but I started making like cassette tapes, and then I met Chad Crouch from Hush Records, and he put out my first EP into 98, I think, something like that. And so I put out an EP and then a record on Hush Records, and I did that for a few years. 2001, made another record, put out on Hush. 2004, another solo record. And then 2006, another solo record that was on Caldo Verde Records, which is Mark Kozelik of like Sun Kill Moon and Red House Painters. And he put out my record in 2006. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then had you come to Portland by 2006, or what got you to...
I had decided I wasn't going to be a marine biologist. And so I moved to Portland in 95.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So I keep trying to figure out if it's 94 or 95. I kind of figure out this timeline. I graduated from high school in 91, 92, 93. I think I was here in like 94 or 95, and got a job at Music Millennium, got a room and a house up on like 60th and Burnside.
Yeah.
And I think I paid like $170 a month.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was a huge house.
One of the first houses that I lived in Portland was like 47th and Hawthorne. And yeah, it was like a bunch of people in the house. It was maybe $200 a month we were paying. It was beautiful.
Yeah. The cheapest actually was when I was 24. I lived in a house with four other people, and my rent was $117.
Oh my God.
And I was working at Oasis Pizza. I call those my like teenage years.
Yeah. Those are beautiful years in Portland. You could like waitress, do your art on the side, and still kind of go out to eat all the time.
Oh yeah, $117 a month for rent.
That's like a crazy dinner out now. I know. It's like so ridiculous.
I know.
Oh, it's happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been here for 20 years.
God.
I celebrated my 21st birthday at the La Luna balcony. There's the upstairs of La Luna. I celebrated my 21st birthday up there.
Yeah. And have you been here this whole time, or did you kind of come and go?
I've toured.
Yeah.
But I've never, I've always, yeah.
So that's always sort of the longest you've ever stayed in one spot.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when Joe, my ex, and I lived together, we lived on Ash Street for 7 years, and that was the longest I lived in any one place for my entire life.
Yeah.
Because I had grown up moving around every 2 or 3 years. And yeah, so 7 years in the same house. It's unheard of.
I had that same kind of, I probably moved more like every 5 years, but when I realized I'd been in Portland, I think 8 years, I was like, oh my God, this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere in my life. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long is it now? It's 8 years or more?
I think it's been about 13.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still good here,
still
right?
Can't call myself a Portlander yet. No. No, I do. But, there's this idea that...
Don't you have a Subaru?
Prius. It's pretty much the same.
I have a Subaru station wagon.
Yeah.
And I'm moving to Richmond, Virginia, as you know. And I'm gonna look like such a tool over there driving my Subaru with my Oregon plates. Like, part of me wants to just get a new car.
Yeah,
but it makes sense here, I mean, I go out to nature a lot, and if I wanted to sleep in it, I could, and so that's why I have it. But that's when I knew when I got that car, I'm like, I'm an Oregonian.
It's true. We had a Volvo before that, like the old 70s, and it started getting moss growing in it. It's really
creepy. Nice.
Maybe we're going to move to a little more like environmentally friendly. So I read a couple interviews from you for like back in the day, and one of the things I found really interesting was that you did that one, the Don't Quit Your Day Job short video, and you talked about part of the love was music, but also part of the love is touring. And do you think that you, through moving around when you were young, you just got really used to that and excited about it, or what is it about touring that's compelling to you?
Going places.
Yeah.
Going someplace new, and like every day you get to be in someplace new. I mean, in the States is one thing, like the States for me is not as exciting as it used to be. I mean, I remember I took my first road trip with a boyfriend when I was, 22 years old, and we took a month and drove around the United States, and that was incredible. But, touring, especially in Europe, is pretty amazing because mm-hmm. you're in someplace new every day and you meet new people, and part of it's part of my personality, but also part of growing up and having to be in a new social situation as often as I was. Mm-hmm. I'm really good at meeting new people, and I love meeting new people.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the combination of being in a new surrounding every day, and then also getting to meet new people every day and make new friendships. And
yeah. You are good at meeting new people. I will have to say that whenever I run into you at, you know, friends' parties, I always remember you as the person that, like, said hi and chatted. And I was like, that lady's so nice.
I don't know if it's my personality or if it's just the force of being in a new social situation all the time. But yeah. I love people.
Yeah.
I love meeting new people. Like, if I could do that and make a really good living at it, I would just go and talk to people.
Yeah.
I love it. And that's why I've been a waitress for as long as I have, because there's nothing I love more than, of course, it's not every table or person, but you walk up to a table and you're like, hey, let's talk.
Yeah. That is something I actually really miss about waitressing is I waitressed all through college, and it was like, you were just joining people in their evenings and kind of guiding them through it, and
giving them a great experience and being natural and making them feel good. Like, I love that, and I'm good at it. But I love talking to people and meeting new people.
And that's another thing that you mentioned is that you have a ton of jobs besides the touring. And
well, when I made the record, when I started to make the record last year, I had to kind of pare down, mm-hmm. but you know, after I Too Fawning quit touring, I was in significant debt, mm-hmm. and so I think there was a time I had, I think, 4 or 5 jobs.
Yeah.
I worked at a restaurant. I worked at a plant nursery. I worked for a vintage poster restoration. My friend Jason Leonard. I did merch for the Decemberists. I did merch for Pink Martini, mm-hmm. and I would spend my week going to all these different places to kind of make enough money to make ends meet. Right. But also I love doing something different every day. I could never, no offense to anyone who does it, but I could never sit in an office for 40 hours in a week.
Yeah.
I couldn't. And I learned that very early on that I couldn't have an office job because I had tried and I was not happy. So that's when I discovered, working in a restaurant.
Yeah.
And that was kind of, you know, I was, whatever, 24. I started working at Fellini, worked lunches at Fellini. And that was when I was like, oh, I see.
And it's a great way to learn about food also.
Yeah.
Like the first restaurant I worked in was the Bread and Ink here in Portland.
Oh,
and
yeah, on Hawthorne, like, right?
Yeah. And I learned how to, they made all of their own sauces and all of their own dressings. And I had no idea that you could make a dressing from scratch or, you know, how to emulsify, or there were all these things that it's like, they made their own ketchup, for God's sakes.
Whoa.
It was amazing to see. Whoa. Yeah.
I worked at Beast for 5 years, and that's like that, you know, super fancy French restaurant. And before I was working there, I knew nothing about wine,
mm-hmm.
very little about cheese or what a salsa verde was. I mean, all this stuff, I had no idea. And I would just ask a lot of questions and watch and observe. And, you know, I guess I still continue to do that. But
yeah, hard work. So now you are coming out with a new soul album.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And mm-hmm. is this right? It's the first one in 10 years?
Nine.
Okay.
Don't ask me why it's been so long. I mean, I was doing something else for a big chunk of that,
mm-hmm.
but I've never been one to, I'm not a super prolific person. Like, I'm very, very thoughtful and methodical about
mm-hmm.
when I make a record and when it's time to make a record. And it's a much more thoughtful, emotional process for me than just churning stuff out.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind, you know, getting more to a place of consistently writing instead of feeling like I have, you know, some sort of emotional purging.
Yeah.
Because that's often how I feel like I make solo records.
That's what I was going to ask about your process. Like, were these songs that you've been working on for, you know, 5, 6, 7 years? Or was this a sort of like, have something to get out and I'm just going to sit down and just purge it all. Because it feels, the one song that I've heard, which, the Beast Lived in the Same Place. Uh-huh. I was like, what is it? Uh-huh. I saw you play that at Holocene.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just felt so raw and so emotional. I mean, people in the audience had tears in their eyes. It was just like, holy shit, what has she been through? You know, that kind of thing. And I was thinking about that and like, that does not feel like a song that you were writing slowly over time. It felt like, I have to get this out.
I wrote that. Yeah. I mean, almost all the songs on the record I would write. I mean, that song in particular, that was one of the first ones that I wrote.
Yeah.
Because at that time I played that show. I only had 3 new songs written, or maybe even 2.
Yeah.
And I think Eric asked me to play like a few songs, and I was like, well, I guess I'll play a Tufani song, and then I'll play this other song, and then, you know?
Yeah.
And so that song I wrote, I remember getting, I can very clearly see it sitting in my kitchen in my apartment, and it was late at night, and I have a demo version of it where I'm playing it and singing it pretty quiet, because I had to. It was in an apartment building at 2 in the morning or something. But I did. I wrote that song in like 20 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really touching. Yeah. It's
thanks.
It was really exciting to see that show. And then you have another, your last show in Portland is coming up?
Yeah. Well, I'm playing Astoria. I play the Bunk Bar the following weekend. And then Sou'wester. I'm playing a solo show at the Sou'wester that on the 23rd. So I have 3 shows coming up in the next week and a half, and that's it until I leave.
And then what? What are you? You're leaving Portland.
I'm leaving Portland,
yeah.
And I'll go tour in Europe in the fall. And then if stuff comes up, I'll do it, but you know, I don't feel the need to push the boulder up the hill anymore. So if I can keep it as fun and pure as I can, the happier I am.
Yeah.
You know, like I want people to hear the record, but I don't want to go bang my head against a wall trying to make people
listen.
So,
know? Yeah.
I don't, you know, whatever pitchfork or stereo gum or whatever website I can get to pay attention to me, I just don't care anymore. I just can't. It's just too much.
Yeah,
it just took a lot of the fun. I just took a lot of the fun out of it. And in Tufani, we worked so hard, and I don't mind working hard. I just there's never been any sort of financial sustainability with it, and that can be really frustrating. Again, when I have 5 jobs and I'm trying to tour and release a record or write a record or what have you, like it's always been. It's been challenging, but yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I wouldn't mind it being a little more sustainable, but it never has been.
Do you think you would be happy if you were touring and making music full time? I mean, is that something that's...
I've thought about that too, and I'm not totally sure. Like even when Tufani was really, really busy and touring all the time, you know, the rest of it became really challenging except for that hour I was on stage performing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of touring musicians maybe would tell you the same thing, that, you know, that hour or hour and 10 minutes or what have you that you're on stage is the reason. Like, that's the joy. And that is the pure heart. You know, everything else is just, you know, getting from point A to point B, you know. But it just becomes hard. It just becomes more of a machine. Like with Tufani, it definitely became more of a machine, and I didn't love the machine.
Yeah,
I didn't love all the stuff you had to do, you know, photo shoots or interviews or acoustic sessions in the park an hour before you actually had to go perform, or all this extra stuff. I didn't really enjoy. So the performing was
yeah.
That was the good part.
Yeah, it's like your face lights up when you talk about performing.
Oh, it's so great.
Yeah.
It's so great. Especially with Tufani, because it was the first me really tapping into a pure energetic performance. And really kind of being a conduit for something that some nights I didn't know what was going to come through me and come out of me.
Does that happen when you're playing solo as well, or is there something different?
It does, but it's been a long time, so I'm not really sure. I mean, this show on Friday at the Voodoo Room will be my first real show, solo show, since 2007, probably.
Yeah.
And it is, it'll probably be, even just having rehearsals lately and getting to play loud, and I have that electric feeling that kind of pulses through you. But the music is not as rambunctious as some of the Tufaning stuff was, so it's maybe a little bit more of an internal exploration as opposed to this like jumping up and down, right. You know.
Yeah, I read somewhere your music described as quiet music. I thought that was
my solo stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, in the old days, really was though. Yeah. It really was really so like really quiet.
Oh, so it's a little, because I was thinking, I've seen the one live show, so I was thinking that that's not how I would have described it, even though at times it was quiet, there was so much like energy and yearning about it that it didn't feel, like even if you were quiet, it felt like you were just about to like explode, so,
You know. I can see what you're saying there. That's actually really nice to hear.
Yeah, so I'm excited to see what you come up with next. Yeah.
Well, I have a band and I have a bunch of singers going to sing with me. And, so I made the record without knowing how I was going to play it live. And so it's been an interesting couple months.
Yeah. Like putting together.
Putting it together. And that's so Friday, finally getting to perform on Friday will be fun.
Yeah. I was at a, Game of Thrones night.
On Sunday, right? My bandmates, we practice a lot on Sundays, and they always take off on Sundays and go.
Yeah. And I was, you know, like, right before it started, I pulled up Instagram. And I was like, I swear that guy is standing right next to Karina is in this room right now.
You were at Madeline and Lee's house?
Yeah, totally. I'm like, is this you? Did you leave band practice to come to Game of Thrones night?
Did you really do that to him? That's amazing.
It's like, seriously?
He totally does. I love it.
Yeah, that was great. So you're playing soon. Do you think you'll start playing out when you move, or what's the...
I probably won't right away. Yeah. I mean, I was mentioning this to someone else. I've heard Rebecca Gates is going to be in town in Virginia in September for work, and that she mentioned she was going to play some shows. So if I'm in town, I was going to write her and be like, hey, let's play a show together.
Yeah.
But I know the music, like, I don't know anyone there.
Why are you moving?
For love.
Oh.
So the guy that I told you I took did the month-long road trip with when I was 22 years old.
Yeah.
We reconnected recently.
Oh.
And he now lives in Richmond, Virginia, and I'm moving there to be with him.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, can't say no to love.
I know. Especially me, because I had really given up.
Yeah.
I had literally 2 weeks before we reconnected, I had said multiple times to friends that I have been lucky to have fallen in love more than once.
Mm-hmm.
And that I'll be okay if it never happens again. And I was saying that not as any sort of pity party.
Yeah.
But I genuinely was like, I have been really lucky. I've had a lot of really lovely men in my life, and I've been in love more than once, and it's been really fucking great. Yeah. Oh, sorry, I don't know if I can curse.
You can swear.
I also just like, I'm done dating. I'm done. I'm cool.
Yeah. Right.
I'm good. Yeah. This is not, you know.
That is when you always... I mean, I think that I felt like in that same place when I met Ray. I was actually about to leave the country and wasn't really sure that I wanted to come back. And 2 months before I meet like the love of my life, it's like, really? Now?
Yeah.
Now when I'm pretty determined to just sort of do my own thing. And that's what happens.
It's interesting too, because, you know, I just moved out of my apartment. I moved in with a friend of mine. And, you know, I had just been working in a restaurant. I have the record coming out. The only thing that I really had to take care of was my fish, and he had just died. And it was all really interesting timing to have this surface into my life. There wasn't really, besides all of the people that I truly love here, like dearly, there wasn't really anything keeping me here, and I was really had been reaching a point of frustration with how the city is growing and changing, and was really feeling the need to step outside of it for a minute and see what life is really about, instead of feeling really focused on how much this place that I have grown up in is changing and moving and shifting, and
or how to make it here.
And I've been struggling financially quite a bit, you know, during the course of making this record. Like I said, I kind of, you know, was not working as much, and the last, you know, 8 months have been the most broke I've ever been in my entire life. And so that has also been frustrating, of how do I make this thing that I love to do sustainable? And it's just not. So, yeah, I'd been asking myself a lot of questions, like, what else am I going to do? Where, how am I going to make a living? How am I going to get out of this bubble, so to speak? And not necessarily Portland, but just,
Portland is a little bit of a bubble.
It is. Like, I mean, you know, living here for as long as I have, like, you know, it has become a bit of a safe bubble for me, you know, and that, there's something really great about that, but there's something really when you get to a certain age, like, you know, I'm being in my 40s now, and you really start asking yourself, what do I want my life to look like? What do I want the rest of my life to look like? And what do you really want to work towards?
Where does acting fit into this? Like, I've seen you sort of pop up in a lot of places, and is that something that you're passionate about, or has it kind of come about from people that you know, or?
I actually did a little bit in college, and there was a handful of months I was really torn between pursuing music and pursuing theater.
Yeah.
And I had done this 20-minute monologue of Lily Tomlin's Search for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe.
Right.
And I did this monologue, and it was so profound, and it was at Humboldt State. I actually performed this monologue, and it was so intense and profound, and took me to a place that really surprised me, that I had a moment where I had considered pursuing it instead of music. Yeah. And I had at that time the head of the film department approach me and said, "You need to come back. This is what you need to be doing." And he was really supportive, and I was kind of shocked and taken aback, and had thought long and hard about it, and had to choose, really. Because if I was going to do music, I needed to just do that and hone my craft. And, you know, being self-taught too, like, I had to practice every day and write and learn to write and listen, you know, just take it all in. And so obviously I chose music, but the funny thing is that it just, acting started surfacing, and I think one of the first things was, some days are better than others. I had a small role in that, and then the Portlandia thing happened. I met Simon Maxhill. He's the one that casts for Portlandia. He had Joe and I come in for an audition for some film center piece, and maybe that's how we came on his radar. I'm not really sure, because I think from there Joe started getting more stuff, and then I had started getting more auditions, and then Portlandia came around. I auditioned the first season to play a drunk girl and got it, and went on set, filmed it, and ended up getting cut. And I think that they liked me enough that they had kept me in mind for the next season. And then the next season, and then it eventually just became a no-brainer that they had me on every season.
And then
the movie with Brian Padian, that also came up completely randomly. Like, I have not pursued acting in any way.
It seems like it's pursuing you, though.
A little bit.
It's following you around a little bit.
I wouldn't mind doing more of it, but again, it takes up a lot. And I have had moments of, well, maybe I should get a reel and, you know, and try to get an agent and maybe go for it. And I started taking an acting class and was thinking maybe that, but this was also during a time that I wasn't playing music and was thinking maybe I should be doing more acting.
Yeah.
But then, I don't know, I just can't keep doing music. And if the acting stuff happens, it's great. I would love it. I would love an opportunity to have a more like singular one-on-one role mm-hmm. in a film where I could actually really, really dig in and perhaps not play a completely depressed person like in Brian's movie. That was right. really hard because I was already really depressed, and then I had to just dig in even deeper to maintain my sadness.
I don't think that house will ever be the same for
me. That house?
Yeah.
I don't think I'll ever be able to go back there. I've stayed there a couple times, and
then I saw the preview. It was like, I have never found that house to be so disturbing.
And I had to be staying there too.
Yeah.
It was really sad. And it was also cold all the time because they always had to keep the doors open to run cables through and stuff. Oh, yeah. And so my room would literally have like cables. And so I'd crawl into bed at night just shivering.
He was just purposefully keeping you in that space. No fun, no joy.
I couldn't have fun or joy. Everyone else got to have a little fun and joy. Yeah. It was nice to have Joe V on that because he's hilarious. And there were times I'd be like, Joe, you gotta stop making me laugh. Because I gotta be serious and sad.
Well, and that is that film coming out soon, right? I mean, I know that it was at the film festival.
Seattle.
And,
his first real screening in Seattle. I think it went really well. And he was happy to finally have like it shown to the world, you know?
Yeah. Because
he'd worked so hard on it, and it's been done for a while now. So,
Awesome.
I did get to do some music videos. That was fun.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I did one with Jay Weinbrenner and then one with Scott Ballard. So, that was really, that's fun acting.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I saw some of the like the Instagrams of that, of the music video.
Oh, yeah.
Typing by a lake.
That's Scott Ballard. Kind of, And then there's the Jay Weinbrenner with the Cheerio faces.
Yes.
Those will be coming out soon.
Awesome. Well, we should probably wrap up. I know you have a ton to do. I mean, you're probably running nonstop until you leave.
I am a little bit. But Nick from Virginia is coming in tomorrow. It's his birthday. And so tomorrow is our like sanctioned day. We're like, this is our day. And then from that, you know,
where are you gonna go? Astoria. Do you have like a list of Portland?
He has a taco truck he's obsessed with. And then I'm gonna take him to DOC for his birthday dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's turning 45. I found a man in my age group. When I was dating, I was like, I don't think there's anybody out there that's my age.
I tend to think that everyone is exactly my age. I'm like, no, we're all that age.
Aren't we all that age? Aren't we all in our 40s-ish?
Yeah, in my mind, everyone is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Until I bring up something that I listened to as a teen and realize that nobody in the studio knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh, you're all in your 20s.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is fine. Well, thank you so much for coming in. And
I'm so
looking forward to your show. And
You're getting teary-eyed about that song.
I know. Sorry. It's true.
What is it about that song for you?
I don't know. I've probably been there.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it came from such a place of heart that I was like transported immediately back to probably like being completely heartbroken. And then there's that part. There's that part where you talk about just like raising your arm and going on, and it's like we all do that, and then we find something better.
Uh-huh.
It's a podcast; no one can see us.
Yeah.
But you know, you go on and you find something so much better. And I was just thinking about how happy I am in life, right? Mm. And how that was like a moment, and you raise your hand and you hope for better, and then it's like, oh my God, I'm there. And it just felt really good to hear that and just to think about that longing and to think like you can long that much and then one day you're good. And it was really nice.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's like for some reason it's hard for music to hit me like that these days. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. I was so shocked. I was so shocked to just feel like, to hear something for the first time and just feel it so strong, you know, it's like awesome. It's a good feeling, but I feel not jaded by music, but it's like I hear music and it's like, oh, that was nice.
Oh, I feel the same way.
Yeah, but it's not often that I'm just like, I think I literally just sat down and I was like, okay, I'm going to deal with this.
Yeah.
And I was there with friends, you know, and like they were enjoying it and talking, but I was like, I'll be back. And like just basically was like, and looked and there were like, you know, some younger people and they were all sitting down and I was like, wow, we're all, you know, I just felt like a moment happened there and it was really nice.
Yeah, that was, it was just, it's been so hard.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because I fell in love right after. I was still with Joe when I fell in love with someone.
Yeah.
And Joe and I had been done for a long time, but I fell in love. And that's what, like, a lot of the record is about, this person that I fell in love with and was so fucking messed up for my 8-year relationship with Joe. And I could not love. And that, for me, is devastating.
Yeah.
Because there was nothing wrong. It's just
like nothing wrong with that person. It was just
I was just broken.
Yeah. Well.
And that's the same thing of just like, gotta fight, gotta be strong, gotta push through this, gotta have hope, gotta believe in love. Like, that's what a lot of the record is just trying to just believe in love again and and that it's gonna heal and that the pain is, you're gonna move through it.
Yeah. And then you found love right as the record's coming out, which is probably...
I know!
Like, maybe you had to get all of that out.
I did, though.
You know, it's almost like you probably wouldn't have been able to accept this either. Yeah.
It's total... All of it is, like, there are moments I'm literally just, like, smacking my hand to my head. Like, I can't believe the timing of everything and what's... And it's pretty incredible that, you know... I have like some hippie in me for sure that like there's some cosmic shit in the world.
Yeah.
And it can be a magic place, you know, and you have to believe in it.
Yeah.
Cause
I mean, if you're going that deep, you're opening yourself up to, I think.
Yeah.
More of those things coming to you too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Trying. I mean, it's an interesting time, you know, having the record come out and having these shows and having been rehearsing and then literally I have 2 weeks at the restaurant and then I have a week of packing and then I get in my car and I drive across the country.
Yeah.
And that's all happening in the next 3 weeks.
Jesus.
I know. I've been waking up so early every morning. Like I woke up so early this morning. I'm like lying there going, okay, this is all I gotta do today. All right, I gotta do this.
I mean, it's sort of exciting at the same time. Yeah. I'm sure it's just frightening as hell, but also like wow.
Just gotta remember to just take a breath. Like yoga right now is real. I'm doing yoga in actually a little less than an hour, and that's my moment of the day to kind of bring all this in and keeping it cool. Because it's like I can do this. Because I have moments like I don't know if I can do this. It's like I can.
No, you got this.
Anyway. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, this was really amazing, and I'm glad you were able to do this.
Yeah, I'm honored.
Yeah.
When I was 33, it was a very good year.